Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of The Wrap Up, a production of The Balance. Join Tom and $2 Bill Josh as they wrap up the last 24 hours of sports for you. Right now, here's Tom and $2 Bill Josh.
It's time to start.
All right, boys and girls, steps across the balance wrap up. That's right, it is July 26, 2011. We're going to wrap you up. Right alongside me is, some of you guys may not have met him yet, the man, the one, the only, Statman Steve. How are we doing, brother?
Tired. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'll tell you what, man. That's what you got to do when you work for a living. Get tired, you know. But see, we both work for the man, so we got to get this show making some money so that we can so we can retire in Hawaii or something.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, we got a lot going on, guys, as you know very, very well, unless you've been under a rock. And if you've been under a rock, let me tell you what has happened. The players agreement have reached agreement with the owners, so the lockout is officially over. And I'm sure you probably heard that, so we won't dwell on it too much today. We really want to get to some exciting things that we've got going on right here in Indianapolis this week. It is racing, and we've got racing coming out every orifices that we can possibly think of. I'll word it like that, Statman. So we'll get to that right here.
We're going to be very busy people come this weekend.
Yes,
Thursday,
we are.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Absolutely, and we're going to get right into that with you in just a minute, Statman Steve. One thing that we want to do is make sure that those of you that are kind of wondering, hey, what is this collective bargaining agreement, what it is, and how it breaks down. So basically, there's a lot of details, there's a lot of legal stuff that goes on, and basically just like anything else, when you've got a union and you've got management trying to come together for an agreement, sometimes that takes time. So both sides have got to give a little, and so eventually that's what did happen. And basically, here's some of the highlights. Obviously, there's a lot more to it, but some of the highlights is the new salary cap is set at $120.375 million for 2011. Now, that will rise again in the future as revenue increases and such. Now, there will be no 18-game season, at least not for the next few years, and owners can try to negotiate on this year again in 2013. Now, the salary floor will be increased. Teams must spend 99% of the salary cap in 2011-2012. After that, it'll drop to 95%. Now, padded practices will decrease, which means in the summertime and so forth during this practice time, when they use heavy pads with full contact, that amount of practice time does decrease. That was one of the things that the players wanted. So basically that got reduced down to 2 days of padding during training camp or band, and teams can do one padded and one non-padded practice in the same day. So that was one of the things that the players were asking for. Here's some of the other things that you've got to look at. When you've got a lower salary cap, basically in layman's terms, I'll dumb it down for you. You can't pay your superstars as much money as you'd like to pay them. Now, that said, some teams, just like anything else in business, some businesses have more money than others. So what happens is basically now it's time for the race for the dash to make the offers happen. And one of the key offers that's happening is right here in the city of Indianapolis with number 18, Peyton Manning. As most of you know, he wants that franchise tag lifted. Now, that hasn't been made official. I think that's probably one of the things that are going to be done. But, before the lockout in last season, Jim Irsay promised to make Peyton Manning one of the highest-paid quarterbacks, if not the highest-paid quarterbacks in the NFL. The thing is, with this lower salary cap, he says, he's willing to go the extra mile. He's willing to stay all in with Peyton Manning, but he does have his limits. And I don't know if he's going to reach that $25 million mark or not. Now, here's some of the other key aspects of that. I think that we're going to see Peyton Manning back. We're going to see him. We're not going to see him in training camp. We're not going to see him in preseason. He needs to get that neck rehabilitated, and he needs to get in with the trainers and stuff with the Colts. But we will see number 18 on the field this year. And the thing is, how much longer does Peyton Manning have? So that's one of the things that we will look at as the season goes along. Obviously, some of the big names on the chopping block that you can't keep everybody. And I know there's a lot of people out there that you guys want to talk about. We just don't have time in this 30-minute session. So I just want to highlight, you've got Marvin Bullock, you've got Adam Vinatieri, you've got Joseph Addai. Those are key elements of the structure of the way that the Colts play football. One of the things that they have to do is they have to get the ball down the field. And the guy, the soldier that Peyton Manning has personally groomed for that particular job is Joseph Addai. And Joseph Addai came in and, you know, really kind of stepped up to the plate during his first little bit of time with the Colts. But, you know, he has slept off the grid a little bit last year, missing 8 games because of an injury. Now, that said, he is still one of the Colts' best blockers. We want to make sure that we keep him. Adam Vinatieri. Adam Vinatieri is just coming off his season right now. We hit 95% of his kicks. You, as Colts fans, you know very well that the Indianapolis Colts had some very close games where that extra point did count. Now, there again, you've got number 18 on the field. He's not getting any younger. He's a lot more susceptible to injury than he has been in the past. And here's the thing, he has to be protected. So you've got to get that line built up as well. So we have to look at some people to pay and bring on there. Now on the defensive end, Sanders is gone. Well, maybe not officially, but he is gone as far as all intents and purposes go. So you got to look at who's going to take in to that spot in life after Bob Sanders. And the only logical choice for that is Marvin Bullock. So we've got to keep him on the roster. So there has to be there's a lot of friction right now. So I'd be really curious to see how that pans out over the next couple of weeks. And everything is that way. Obviously, Matt Hasselbeck's not going to be with the Seattle Seahawks anymore. And, you know, a lot of people are saying he's headed out west to Arizona. Fitzgerald would like to see that happen. Of course, you've got a young team down in Tennessee that needs a quarterback. They've got a rookie that's down there that's not even been able to make some plays or hit the field this past year. And then you've got situations with Kyle Orton. Where's he going to end up? Where's Donovan McNabb going to end up? Where's Reggie Bush going to end up? Those are all shake and bakes with the salary cap lowered. People are saying, hey, we'd like to keep you. It's been real. Now, maybe some people are going to renegotiate their salaries and push some money back. So really, a lot of times, renegotiating a salary is just that, pushing money back to the time when they don't have to pay them as much this year because of the salary cap. So you have a higher salary cap this year, but you have a lower salary cap in years to come. So those are some of the things that we want to look at. Obviously, there's an agreement on revenue split and things like that. And, of course, drafted rookies, the rookie salary cap, and that sort of stuff. So there's a lot of things that were put into play that the players like, that the owners like. Both sides had to give up a little bit on that. Now, that said, guys, that wraps up as much as we can possibly put into sticking balls. As much as we like to have your balls covered, we do have them covered at www.thebalanceonline.com. But one of the things that we are introducing and so proud to introduce right now is the New Balance Racing and the New Balance Racing Show. And it's incorporated in with the Balance. And as a lot of you might know, we parted companies with Trackside Review, and we have began our own deal, and we are going to be doing a lot of covering of tracks. And one of our key players, our quarterback on that team, our Peyton Manning on that team, is Statman Steve. Steve, what I want you to do real quick, I want you to break down everything that you've got going on. I know you've been to a lot of races this weekend, so I'm just going to hand the reins over to you, Steve, and I want you to introduce the Balance Racing Show, and I want you to kind of talk about what the Balance Racing Show is, what we'll be covering, and what you've covered so far, and what we're going to be covering up this week. Statman?
Okay. Starting off, the Racing Balance Show will be the Lucas Oil Raceway coming up this weekend. You got Thursday Night Thunder back. Well, it's not really Thursday Night Thunder. It's stock cars. Silver Crown, and midgets racing all at the same time. We're going to be there Thursday night to cover all that. Then we're going to be there Friday night to cover the trucks, the nationwide or the Camping World Series trucks, and then the Nationwide Series on Friday night or on Saturday night. And then Saturday and Sunday, we're going to be spending it out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway covering the big boys at the big track. This weekend coming up in racing is Speed Rome's got a 100-lap race coming up for the Mel Kenyon Classic, 100 laps. Eldora's got non-wing sprint and NRA sprint coming up Saturday night is Lincoln Park Speedway, the Putnamville class, 2,000 to win in sprint cars. And then, of course, next Friday night, the week after the Brickyard, is World of Outlaws at the Bloomington Motor Speedway. I will be there to cover all the action there. This Sunday night, we have 3,000 to win sprints, 2,000 to win midgets at Kokomo Speedway. So we've got a lot of racing coming up here in Indianapolis over the next few days. We're going to cover all of it that we can. If not, we'll get on the computer and cover what we can't. This Monday night at Anderson Speedway is the Red Bud 300 for the CRA race. That'll be a great race. I'm not going to be able to attend that due to work issues, but I sure would like to be there. Are you going to try to cover that one, Tom?
And what race is that?
The Red Bud 300 at Anderson Monday night.
I'm going to try. It's very hard for me to get out there during the week, but, yeah, I am going to try. I've got a lot of stuff going on, but, yeah.
Yeah, I got some breaking news. Joey Saldana was released from the hospital Thursday, broken arm, broken ribs, punctured lung. But from what I hear through the grapevine, he will be making an appearance on August 5th down at Bloomington Speedway. He will be racing unless something changes between now and then. Also, breaking news, Tony Stewart surprised the fans I forget the name of the track. I hate it when I do that.
Eldora.
No, it wasn't Eldora. It's out in Iowa. Well, anyways, he surprised the fans in a late model race and ended up finished 12th. Casey Kane, over in Pennsylvania, flipped out of the track three or four times in the air, landed outside the track, walked away. Rumor is that he tried to get his pilot's license and failed. So I don't know if he's going to try that one again. But we're looking forward to this weekend. Got a lot of racing coming up. I'm going to spend every minute I can getting all I can for you fans and putting it on a website.
All right. And speaking of the website, one of the things that we want to make sure that we let you know that the website will be up and running. We are having some a little bit of technical difficulties with the website at the moment, but we will have that up and running tonight. So if you are trying to get on the website, www.thebalanceonline.com, we will have that fixed here tonight for you as well. Now, one of the things that we do want to talk about, and I know that Statman, you and I certainly will be very busy this week covering races all over Indianapolis. One of the things that are going on down at Lucas Oil Raceway in Indianapolis, in Claremont, just west of Indianapolis, is really the end of an era. And if you can kind of just tell us what happened, for those of us that might not know, this isn't anything breaking news, but obviously NASCAR will not be returning to Lucas Oil next week. And Forrest Lucas pretty much told them in no certain terms, you can take the truck series and put it where the sun doesn't shine. And really, I've even heard some rumors that Forrest Lucas is really unhappy with his name on that track as well. So there's an end to an era. Unfortunately, when that happens, people's feelings get hurt and toes get stepped on and so forth. But can you break us down for us, Steve, what happened out there at O'Reilly and why it was that NASCAR decided, or maybe you don't know, but what you think is your best opinion on this, on why it is that the why it is that the NASCAR pulled the Nationwide Series, and of course Lucas just basically surrendered the Truck Series. I am sure it was about money, but why was it that that NASCAR pulled the Nationwide Series from Lucas Oil Raceway out there in Indianapolis? I mean Claremont.
Well, it wasn't NASCAR. It was Indianapolis Motor Speedway. The Indianapolis Motor Speedway tried in 1999 to get them to come over there, and the contract was still valid at the time. It was Indianapolis Raceway Park. So now that the contract is up at Lucas Oil Raceway, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway pulled that race and took it to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway because they'd been wanting it for a long time, and now they finally got it. Now the trucks, that was just a support series race for the Nationwide Series, and now that the Nationwide Series is in there, there's no reason to bring the trucks in. I don't know if the Indianapolis Motor Speedway wants to run the trucks at the Speedway. Last I heard, they did not, but that may have changed after they lost them up there at the Lucas Oil Raceway. Now, coming up this weekend, I will find out for sure. We'll be attending all kinds of press conferences up there at the Speedway, and we'll get all the news, and we'll put it on next week.
That's right. Absolutely. And here's the thing. We will have the website up and running. Like I said, we are having some we are just in the process of changing some things around, and we'll have that website up for you. So if you're trying to get on to www.thebalanceonline, never fear. You can still go to Facebook, www.facebook, and search The Balance. So just go to Facebook, search The Balance. Of course, The Balance is on Twitter and so forth under T-Balance. If you've got anything you want to email us about or any questions you want to email me or Steve, just send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. Well, it's an exciting time out here at Indianapolis this year. Of course, the running of the Brickyard 400. Now, one of the things that I want to ask you about, Steve, is the Brickyard, you know, back in 2008, and any NASCAR fan remembers the dreaded memory out there at Indianapolis Motor Speedway where
the tire issue.
Now, here's what I'm hearing on the other side of it. Now they are wishing that they could get they're getting too much life out of their tires out there, and obviously fuel mileage is a huge strategy out there at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It's one of the greatest racing venues in the world, if not the greatest racing venue in the world. So what? I know across the board, of course, economics and the situation that we're in as a country, you know, people just don't have the money. They'd rather pay their rent than go to a race. I don't understand that, Steve, but no, I'm kidding, guys. But have you noticed that attendance has dropped off? And it being the Brickyard, do you think that the fact that there's still plenty of tickets left at the Brickyard this year is a bad sign?
Last I heard, there was lots of tickets left, but attendance was up from last year, and they don't expect a sellout this year, but they expect a lot more attendance than last year. I think last year they still had the effect from the great tire plunder of 2008, but this season has been going so well for them, with the exception of New Hampshire and one other track, attendance was down. So the attendance is actually up at the Motor Speedway this year, and maybe if we're lucky, we can get a sellout.
Well, that'd be great. And I tell you, one of the things that that is great about the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is it is so fan-friendly. If you've never been out there, get a ticket, go out there, general admission, park in the infield, enjoy the day of racing. Now, that said, we've got the Brickyard coming up. What are some of the things that we can look for with the Brickyard and with this year with the Brickyard 400? Who are the drivers you think is going to stand out? What are some of the things that we want to look for there, Steve?
Well, you can always look for the regulars out there, but you know, I think this year we're going to have a surprise winner out there. I don't know why, but Dale Jr. has always ran good at this track. He's always finished back in the pack. Something's always failed. But Dale Jr., of course, the Tony Stewart and Ryan Newman is just awesome. They've coming off that win at New Hampshire. I wouldn't be surprised to see one of them in victory lane either.
Well, and then that would be great to see tonight. I tell you what, and here's the thing. Indianapolis Motor Speedway has always been nice to the veterans, but I think this year we've got some young drivers that really have an opportunity to make it happen. What are some of the young drivers that are coming that are just now going to be making it on the scene, and what are some of the young drivers that we can look for as fans out there at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for the Brickyard 400 this year, Steve?
Well, you got Martin Truex and several of the other younger guys, but they just don't have the financial backing as the bigger guys. You get into the Roushes and the other big time guys. It's hard for those little guys to come up. And what they do is they come on the scene, race a few years, get better, and then they get better contracts through better teams. So I don't expect to see any of the littler guys do anything very much this weekend, but we might be surprised.
Okay. Well, moving on from there, like we said, we're going to be covering two racetracks in a period of about 3 days. We're going to be very, very busy. And one of the first races that you and I will be going to is, and I know $2 Bill Josh will be with us as well, but when we go out there to Lucas Oil on Thursday, now that's the USAC Silver Crown Series as well, what kind of show does USAC have to put on? And I tell you what, fans, if you've never been out to a USAC race, if you've never been out to one of those type of races that are a little bit different, and maybe you're in town for the Brickyard, go ahead and go on over there to Lucas Oil Raceway in Claremont and check that out. Steve, tell us a little bit about USAC, what it's about, and what kind of show they're going to put on Thursday night.
Okay, USAC has basically two divisions, dirt and asphalt. The Midgets has put on shows out there at Raceway Park that have been just totally awesome. We've got Silver Crown and Midgets this weekend. Silver Crowns are big, heavy cars. They're running a 100-lap feature. Midgets will run a 30- or 40-lap feature. And then ARCA, they're mixing it up with ARCA stock car drivers. They're running a 200-lap race this weekend. So
okay.
With USAC, it's open wheel. You got open wheel racers, so they rev wheels, they fly, they roll, they flip, they spin out, and with the ARCA cars, they're covered wheels, so they're not as prone to get up in the air.
Well, and one of the up-and-coming drivers in the ARCA series, and I know that maybe, Steve, you haven't had an opportunity to talk with him very much. He's a very young driver by the name of Jared Marks, and he's a great young kid that has a lot of energy and a lot of ability. Now, tell us a little bit about ARCA racing. You mentioned that a lot of people are familiar with USAC. They've been around for quite a few years. A lot of people may not be familiar with some of these smaller series such as ARCA. So if you can kind of tell us what ARCA is and what kind of race cars they'll be driving out there.
Well, they're a little bit smaller than the NASCAR cars. A lot of these are old NASCAR chassis that they've rebuilt up on. The guys are going to be running a little bit smaller engine. I was just out at an ARCA race at Winchester a month or so ago, and I mean it was some of the best short track stock car racing I ever seen. Dakota Armstrong, Steve Arpin, Chase Austin, Tim Andrew. I mean, there's so many. Richard Childress' grandson races in it. Ty Dillon, I think, is his name. So you got Brian Tyler. He's raced midgets for years. Now he's racing stock cars. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. Any other drivers? Sean. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. It sounded like you cut out there. Go ahead.
You got Ron Cox, Chris Cockrum, Sean Corr, Sean Casey, Jamie Clements. I mean, there's just so many. And then you got the old timers too. I just can't name them all because I can't keep all the drivers in my head. Ricky Carmichael, right. he raced motocross for years, stunt bikes. Mm-hmm. Now he's running ARCA and trucks. So, you know, he's
right.
really out there doing a good job.
Now, Steve, and we want to finish up here real quick here. We've got about 5 minutes. We've got as we just mentioned this a little bit earlier on in the wrap up. What we've got is the end of an era. We've got the
right.
Nationwide Series is going to be out there for the last time, and obviously some of the big drivers are going to be out there. What can the fans who are in town, obviously for the Brickyard? What can they expect by coming on over there to Lucas Oil Raceway and checking out both the Truck Series on Friday night and the Nationwide Series on Saturday night?
Some of the best short track racing they'll ever see will be at Indianapolis Raceway Park Friday and Saturday night with the trucks and cars. They will be wheel-to-wheel, banging doors, moving them out of the way, bump and run, Dale Earnhardt, bump and spin, all that good stuff. It'll just be the last race, I have a feeling, is going to be a record breaker.
Mm-hmm. Now, what kind of records do you expect to be broke, and who do you think is going to take that Nationwide race out there, and who do you think is going to take the truck race?
Let me think. Truck race, I'd really like to see Bodine take the truck race, but I don't think he will. I think Ty Dillon will end up taking the truck race. Frank Kimmel, well, I'd like to see him win the ARCA race because he's won a few this year, but I'd really like to see him do good out there. Ricky Carmichael runs the trucks. I'd like to see him do good out there. As far as a winner, there's just too many drivers to pick. I mean, it's just going
right.
to be a door banging. I mean, they're going to be spinning them out. Spin and win.
Right.
I'm sure it'll be one of the most exciting races that they've ever had out there, being the last race.
Right. Well, looking forward to being out there. Myself and Statman Steve will be out there along with $2 Bill Josh. The ballots will have it covered very, very well, and we are so
right.
glad to have Statman Steve a part of the Balance Racing Show. Statman is a legend in the short track and dirt track arena. we'll call him a legacy of his own. No, actually, Statman has been around for a while, and he knows a lot.
Best-looking guy in radio.
There you go, the best-looking guy in radio. One of the things I want to talk with you about real quickly here, Statman, and I know that you're a big World of Outlaws fan. They're going to be down
right.
there in Bloomington here in mid-August. Won't you tell us a little bit about the Bloomington Racetrack, which is also another little hidden secret, another little hidden gem here in the state of Indiana. One of the things I want to point out very, very carefully, usually, guys, if you anywhere in the state of Indiana, you can be at a nice Sunday afternoon race and drive only an hour or 2 hours away. And one of those hidden gems is down there in Bloomington, and the World of Outlaws is going to be down there. So go ahead and talk to us a little bit about the Bloomington Racetrack and the World of Outlaws series, Steve.
Okay. It's a quarter mile semi-bank clay track down there. They run normally on a weekly race. They run sprints, modified stocks, and Hornets. But like I said, this weekend they're closed due to the county fair, and then next weekend is the World of Outlaws. It's $10,000 to win. So these guys aren't going to be playing around. They're going to be out there hitting, spinning, moving. You know, I mean, just doing anything they can to win. And I mean, these guys put on a heck of a show. I don't know if you've ever seen the World of Outlaws live, but I saw them for the first time in my life at Eldora Speedway last year for the Four Crown Nationals with USAC. They ran Friday night. And I mean, that's mm-hmm. when I was hooked on the Outlaw. I've seen them on racing for years, on TV for years, but there's nothing
right.
like going to be an Outlaw race.
Well, Steve, that was Statman Steve. Steve, we really appreciate you joining us. And Steve and myself, well, Statman, we'll be together Monday evening, 6:30. Every Monday, and of course, we'll be together all weekend long. We'll break everything down for you to be on the website. Every Monday from 6:37, you can have the Balance Racing wrap up, and of course, every Thursday from 7 to 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, myself and Statman Steve will be breaking down the racing. Well, guys, that's going to do it for today. Statman, I appreciate it. We'll see you out on the track. This has been the Balance Racing Update.